has joined.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, one or the other.
Good afternoon.
You doing well?
Yes, I've arrived at the room. He's, I think, sleeping.
I understand. And Tony's doing well?
Well, he'll have the procedure tomorrow. Stents in both kidneys. It's really serious. But I'll talk to you later about it.
May he have a refuah shlema.
Thank you. Amen to that.
We are waiting for another person to come online.
Well, there's a person. Malka's on.
Okay. Then we can begin. And
really bad reception this morning. I think because some go outside and some don't mute while you're doing the teaching, and it causes your voice to break up, you know, every other word. That's very hard to follow.
Are you having that now?
No.
If it happens, you know, unmute yourself and let me know.
Okay. I mean, I understand when we are discussing, but, you know, while you're teaching, it's difficult to catch the sentences sometimes.
I understand. And
I don't get you know, the sound that it, what it does to you. I'm sure it turns up on the recording, too.
Did you verify it, that it turns up on the recording?
No. But
because my sense is the recording coming off of what I'm saying on my phone, not on the other.
I'll check it. I don't think it is, because I hear birds at the beginning, which is nice, but then as it goes on, it's not the animal sounds anymore. It's just chopping up your voice.
Angela
has joined.
Good afternoon, Brandy.
Good afternoon.
Hannah, I'd ask you to unmute because I want to confirm that we're starting with chapter 16, or do we still have the analysis of chapter 15 that maybe we didn't complete? I can't remember.
Hi, Hannah. Well,
I'm sorry.
Thursday, but that's where we were the week before, was we were getting ready to do the summary and read the whole thing.
Oh, so I'm supposed to read all of chapter 15 in Hebrew, and then we'll read the summary. Is that where we are?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I remember saying that that's what we were
doing. I know that.
Okay. I thought we had, so let's do that.
Okay, I'm good.
Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoach. Ana Bekoach, Gedulat Shemincha. Shamrem Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sitkata Tamid Gamlem Betet Reish Sadi Taf Gimel. Basin Kadosh Berov Tucha Nael Adata Et Kufbet Tet Nunayan. Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamed Hey Zion Kuf. Shabbatenu Kael Ushma Tziyaka
Has joined.
Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Tadiyuta. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoach, we say in a whisper. So you can find the handout for today's class on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. Scroll down to chapter 15 of Joshua, and that will open up to the landing page. And you'll see a link that will take you to the Mechon Mamre organization of the chapter. You'll need to scroll down to chapter 15, and that's where we will start after the L'shem Yehud. We will be reading all 63 verses in Hebrew in sequence, and then we'll follow it by the going back to the analysis of chapter 15 and reading that, the commentary on chapter 15. But this should be the last class for chapter 15. It had taken us about three classes to get through all 63 verses. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Brichu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe The Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenehu. Chapter 15, verse 1. All 63 verses in sequence. Vayehi hagoral lemate b'nei Yehuda lemishpechotam el gavu edom midbar tzin negba mikte teman. Vayehi lachem gevul genegev mikte yam hamelach min halashon aponer negba. Vayatsa el megnegev lemale akrabim v'yavar tzina v'ya'ala minegev lekadesh. Barnea v'yavar Hetron v'yala Adara v'nasav hakarka v'yavar atzmona v'yatsa nachal mitraim v'haya totot hagul yama Zayhiya lachem yul negev Ugbul kedma yam hamelach Ad katzei hayarden Ugbul ifat Safona milshon hayam miktei hayarden Va'ala ha-gevul beit ha-gehadla V'yavar mitzpon leveit ha-arava V'yala ha-gevul even bohan ben reuven V'yala ha-gevul tevira me'emek akor V'tapona toner share no kach lemale, adumim masher. Mine egem la nachal v'avar hagbul el meyayen. Shemesh v'hayu hatzotav el ein rogel. V'ala hagul geben hachinom el ketef hayavusi. Minegev hiyo Yerushalayim V'ala hagbul el ha'el rosh ahar asher al penege hinom Yama asher b'ikse ha'emek refayim Tafona v'tar hagbul me'rosh Ahar el mayan meinef toah v'yatsa el arei har Ephron v'tar hagul balahi kiryat yarim v'nasav hagul mi ba'ala yama el har seir v'yavar El ketef har yarim mitzafona ikisalon v'yarad et shemesh v'yavar timna v'yatsa hagevul el ketef eshron tzafona v'tar hagevul shikirona V'yavar har ha'ba'ala v'yata yavne el v'hayu totot ha'gevul yama u'gvul yam ha'yama ha'gadol u'gvul z'gadul v'nei Yehuda saviv v'mishpechotam U'kalev ben Yefune Natan helek betoch b'nei Yehuda El pi Hashem li Hoshua et Kiryat Arba Avi ha'anak hi Hebron V'yaresh misham Kalev et Shalosha B'nei ha'anak et sheshai ve'et atchiman ve'et talmai yelidei ha'anak v'ya'al misham el yoshvei devir v'shem devir l'fanim kiryat sefer v'yomer kalev asher yake Et Kiryat Sefer Ubakada Venatati Lo et Aksa Viti Lisha Vail Kedat Biel Ben Kenazahi Kalev Vaiten Lo et Aksa Bito Leisha Vayehi bevoa batzitehu lishol me'et aviha tzade vatitznach me'al chachamor vayomer la kalev malach latomer tenali Racha ki eretz ha'negev netatatni v'natatali gulot mayim v'yiten la et gulot ilifyot v'et pulgot gulot tachtiyot Zot nachalat matei v'nei Yehuda v'mishpechotam Vait you harim mikte lemate bene Yehuda el gvul adam bene bakav el v'yeder v'yagur v'kina v'dimona v'yadada kadeshet v'kadesh v'tatzor v'yitnan V'hudatelem uvalot v'chatzor. Tadata upriot. Tetzron hi hatzor amam. Oshma umolada. V'chatzor gada v'cheshmon. Uveit palet. Bachatzar shu'al be'uber sheva uvizyot ya ba'ala v'im wa'atzem be'el tolad u'fil v'harma v'tik lagu madbana v'santana Uvaot b'shilchim b'ayin b'rimon kolarim esrim v'atesha b'chatzrechen b'atshfela eshtao b'tzara v'yashna b'zanoach b'ein ganim Tapuach v'hainam yirmut v'adulam shoko v'yazeka v'sha'arayim v'aditayim v'hagdera u'derotayim arim arba esre v'chatzre kachen Tanan v'chadasha u'migdal gat v'dilan v'hamitzpah v'yachte'el lakish v'vatzkat v'eglon v'kabon v'lachmach v'kidlish u'gderot v'et dagon v'nahama Umakeda arim shesh esre v'chatzre chen livna v'yater v'yashan v'yiftach v'yashna untziv uktila v'yachziv umaresha arim v'yesha v'chatzre chen Echron ubnotecha v'chatzerecha me'echron v'yama kol asher al yad ashdod ashdod v'notecha v'chatzerecha alza b'notecha v'chatzerecha anachal Mitzrayim v'chayam ha'gedola u'gvul u'vahar shamir v'yatir v'shoko v'dana v'itkir yatanahi v'ivir ava'ana v'yeshtemo v'yanim v'goshen v'cholon Begilo arim achat esre v'chatzre hen arav v'ruma v'yeshan v'yanum v'tapuach v'afeka v'chumta v'kiryat arba hi Hebron V'tzior yarim tesha v'chatzrehen Ma'un karmel v'zif v'yot Chaim Iva Batimna Arim Eser Bechatrechen Alchu Beit Surud Dor Uma Aradu Beit Anon Be'el Tekam Arim Shesh Bechatrechen Kiryat Baal Hi Kiryat Yarim Baharabarim Shetaim Bechatrechen Bamidbar Be'at Bait Haraba Midin Uskaka B'dhaniv Shan Be'ir HaMelah Ve'en Gedi Arim Shesh Bechatrechem Be'et HaYevusi Yoshve Yerushalayim Lo Yochlu B'nei Yehuda L'chori Sham V'yayeshev HaYevusi Et b'nei Yehuda B'Yerushalayim Ad HaYom Hazeh. Returning to the chapter 15, commentary, reminding you that there were 63 verses that we read, and the number 63 is the gematria of the spelled out name of Hashem. Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Yud. And this name connects to Bina, which is Olam Haba, the world that is coming. And it's always good to remember that 63 is actually 26 plus 37. Because 26 is the gematria of Hashem's name and 37 are the letters that we don't say when we see Hashem's name. And now for the commentary. In verse 1, it says, and the lot for the tribe of Yehuda. The royal tribe of Yehuda took their share in the land first. We learn in the Talmud Bava Kama that Rabbi Yehuda said, one measure of land in Yehuda is worth five in the Galilee. And the land was divided by the Goral, the lottery, which is also has the meaning of destiny in some places. As it says in Numbers chapter 26, verse 55, through the Goral shall the land be divided. It was divided through the Urim Betuvim. How? Eliezer would wear the Urim Betuvim, the breastplate, and Joshua and all of Israel stood before him. Placed in front of him was the urn of the lots, which with details of the boundaries of each of the different portions of the land lying on the lots. It was described in the lots, and they were all in an urn in front of him. He would concentrate with Holy Spirit and say, if Zebulun comes up, the region of Akko will come up for him. And he would shake the urn containing the names of the tribes, and Zebulun would come up. And then he would shake the urn with the boundaries, and up in his hand would come Akko. And so with Naphtali, and so on for each tribe. And therefore everyone saw that the land was divided through Holy Spirit. And this way everyone knew it was the will of Hashem and accepted their portions joyously. Now, the question that we might ask, how would we know that Eliezer was connecting the name of the tribe with the particular lot of land. The answer is he would read the messages that come from the Urim Ketuvim. So he would read that message, he would make the statement out loud, and then he would pull the two different lots in the order as described. And it was then clear that he was channeling the information that Hashem wanted to give these portions to these particular tribes. And therefore, everyone was satisfied. There was no questioning that some piece of ground was better than another piece of ground. Because the ground has an energy. Where you live has a name of a city. And that city's name has an energy. And how do you know what that energy is? We have the tool of analyzing that name, that information. And that was the use of the Urim Ketuvim by the high priest. I'm continuing to read, and I'm reading what was added by myself. What is different today from people's perceptions? They don't see that the Holy Spirit is involved in everything that happens in our lives. I once had a conversation with a rabbinical student. This person made the following statement to me. I know Hashem is involved with everything in the world. I just cannot accept that this also includes that it is this, that this involvement continues down to the weather. It continues down to whether I get angry with someone or not. Hashem is involved with each and every human interaction and much, much more. This is not my opinion. This is my completely experiential knowledge. Can you make the same comment? If not, why not? What are you willing to do to elevate your certainty in this perception of our physical reality and Hashem's involvement in that reality? The Talmud continues, not like the division in this world in the time of Joshua, shall be the division in the time that is coming. In this world, a man who has a fruit grove doesn't have a field. Or if he has a field, he doesn't have a fruit grove. But in the division of the world that is coming, there is not a single Israelite who does not have a share in the lowlands, in the mountains, in the south. And the Holy One, blessed be He, will divide it among them Himself. As it says in the account of the future division, from a prophecy by Ezekiel. And these are their allotments, says Hashem. I am adding, after the resurrection of the dead, each soul will be split into many bodies. And this is because each body will receive the components of the soul that completed the soul parts tikkun during that lifetime. Thus, each body will receive the parts, part of Israel appropriate for each body. Names, names, names. Today's texts and those of the coming days are full of many names and topographical details. It can be taxing to try to focus on so many details. But we can fortify ourselves with Rabbi Nachman's teaching that in Torah study, it is sufficient simply to read the words one by one, even without understanding them. For these chapters about the boundaries of towns and villages of the land of Israel are the national treasures of our nation, proving the antiquity of our link with that contested strip of land on the eastern Mediterranean seaboard. The Canaanites and the Philistines of old have disappeared without trace, together with their cultures and their languages. And the Jewish people's links with the land is far older than that of any of the other people who have laid claim to the land. Those who preserve and study the Torah and this book of Joshua possess the true deed of title to the land. Difficult though they may be to read and study, these chapters are far more than mere lists of names. Those familiar with present-day Israel will recognize many of the names of the towns and locations in the text. The names
has joined.
The names have their own poetry, whose beauty is particularly discernible to those with a broad acquaintance with the Hebrew of the Bible and the connotations of different words and roots. Some towns were called after their founder or their builders or their conquerors, some after an associated event, some after some striking and important environmental feature, a hill, a valley, a plain, a rock, a well, a spring, a tree or trees, animals, and many other components. Some names relate to the occupations of the original inhabitants, notably in the fields of agriculture, in vine culture, and the like. Besides their simple Peshat meaning, these lists of the boundaries and towns and villages of the land are woven of holy names and letters, containing a wealth of wisdom for those who would dig amidst these treasures. Rabbi Nathan of Breslov writes in his introduction to the Sefer Amidot, the alphabet book, by his master, Rabbi Nachman, that the Rebbe said he learned all the remedies in the world from these chapters in the book of Joshua, detailing the boundaries of the land of Israel. He explained that the names of all the cities in each tribe's portion are ciphers denoting the names of all the remedies in the world, in all of the languages. The reason is that the land of Israel corresponds to the human form, and the division of the land corresponds to the divisions of the body. One tribe's portion is the head, another is the right arm, etc. And the biblical passage describing each tribe's portion contains the remedies relating to the corresponding body part. It is noteworthy that Jerusalem appears both directly and indirectly several times in chapter 15. Even though Jerusalem itself was not part of Judah's tribal inheritance, but in Benjamin's, nevertheless, Jerusalem is alluded to in the account of Judah's boundaries. Because as Rashi notes, wherever the text speaks about the boundary going up, the Oleh from the south, it means going up to Jerusalem. And where it speaks about from Jerusalem and beyond it, it speaks about how it goes down. And from here we learn that Jerusalem is higher than all of the rest of the Eretz Yisrael. Verse 8. Rashi explicitly teaches that while Judah's northern boundary touched the southern tip of Jerusalem, it did not include the city, which Jacob had promised to Benjamin, the youngest of his 12 sons, and son of his beloved Rachel. In fact, Judah's boundary came right inside the temple, touching the southeast corner of the altar, which for this reason has no yesod, no foundation, in that corner, so that no part of the altar should stand anywhere except in the territory of Benjamin. Kiryat Sefer and Ozniel ben Kenaz. An intriguing part of chapter 15 is Caleb's challenge for someone to capture Debir Kiryat Sefer in return for marrying his daughter Aksa. His half-brother Osniel, the son of Benaz, stepped forward and took the town, after which Aksa asked her father for springs of water, the upper springs and the lower springs. This is one of those deep, deep sections that can only begin to be grasped with the help of rabbinic midrash. Here we have the first appearance of who was to become the first of the judges after Joshua. And the sun rises and the sun goes down. A verse from Ecclesiastes. Said Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, don't we know that the sun rises and the sun sets? What this verse means is that before the Holy One, blessed be He, causes the sun of one tzaddik to set, He already causes the sun of another one to rise. Even before Joshua's sun set, the son of Osniel ben Kenaz rose, as it says, and Osniel ben Kenaz captured Debir. The mystery of the capture of Debir, whose name was formerly Kiryat Sefer, the city of the book, is as the Talmud states, that during the 30 days of mourning for Moses, 1,700 detailed laws were forgotten. But even so, Osniel ben Kenaz was able to bring them back through the power of his pilpul, which is Talmudic logical and reasoning. It is his recovery of all this lost Torah that is alluded to in verse 17, and he captured that. And he captured of Aksa, relating to the Hebrew root kaas, anger, the rabbi said cryptically that any man who saw her got angry with his wife, presumably because she showed other women up badly, not that her head was only in the clouds. Rashi says on verse 19, note that her complaint that the portion she received with her new husband was dry means it dried up from all good. A man who has nothing in him except Torah. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. The Hebrew for springs is gulos, from the root gala, to reveal. Osniel was one to whom the secrets of the upper realms and the lower realms were revealed. Osniel is also identified with Ya'abetz, an archetypal Torah teacher in Israel. We should derive encouragement from the example of Osniel, because it means that even if some of the Torah has been forgotten, it can be recovered through the powers of logic. And the son of Judah would drive out the Jebusites, could not drive out the Jebusites, dwellers of Jerusalem. This is the last verse, 63. Rashi, on this verse, notes that these Jebusites dwelling in Jerusalem were not from the Canaanite tribe of the Jebusites, but they were Philistines descended from Abimelech, whom Abraham, in return for purchasing the burial cave in Hebron, had to swear that he would not harm his grandson or his great-grandson. Well, the written part, as the way we pronounce the text rather than the way it's written, means they could not. The ketiv, which is the written word, means that they will not be able to. Many drashot come out of such divergences between the written and the spoken. Here it indicates that Judah did not drive out the Jebusites. Not because they were not physically able to, but because they were not allowed to. And this was because Abraham's death still stood because Abimelech's great-grandson was still alive. It was only King David who took Jerusalem after the elapse of the oath when the appointed time came. And thus it was called David's City, as destined by Hashem. David purchased the site of the temple from Arabna, the last king of the Jebusite Philistines. Everything comes at its proper time, especially when it comes to the possession of the Holy Land. That's the end of our class. Does anybody have any questions? And as I have said earlier in our earlier classes on this chapter, if we would only delve into the analysis of each of the names, how much more wisdom would we have? Does anyone have any questions? I wish everyone Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful day. We have two more classes today. One is at 4:30 West Coast time, which is a deep Zohar class, and one is at 7 p.m., which is a Tikkuni Zohar class. I hope you'll join us for one or all. Tomorrow being Wednesday, we have four classes again. We have at 10 a.m., we'll be reading the parasha, the fourth aliyah of the parasha of Bereshit. At 11 a.m., that the first class is at 7 a.m. At 11 a.m., we will have a class in Mussar, in ethical development. At 4:30 tomorrow, we have a deep Zohar class. And at 7 p.m., we have questions and answers. I remind you that Motzi Shabbat, we have our Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan event. I hope you'll join us for that. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful day. Shalom.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.